I don't even want to be a bad guy with it. Like, I don't look. I want teleportation for a couple of very simple things. One, I will buy a season pass to whatever theme park I plan on teleporting to. I will keep that pass, but I want to go to Orlando and not have to travel, you know, right?
Sit in the car, flying.
It's hell to go to Florida.
Yeah.
Hi, welcome back everyone to the Dragon Review. We are here for the season finale of the Wheel of Time Season 3. I'm here as always, and my name's Cam Clark, and I'm here with Christine and Kel Malone. Hi guys, how are you?
What's up?
Hanging in there.
Yeah, yeah. What a shocking episode.
Yes.
Lots of fun.
We'll
can't wait to talk about
that.
It.
We're going to get to that, yep. Obviously, you're watching us on the Genreverse YouTube channel. Kel, why don't you tell the guys about what else we've got on there?
A little bit of everything. Reactions and reviews covering pretty much the wide gamut of geek and pop culture. Mostly anime, but hey, Wheel of Time and Andor reviews starting this week. Can we really... We got to talk to Shockey about that, right? And so sometime this week, the first three episodes of Season 2 of Andor will get there.
Tomorrow it hits at some point, but
yeah. We'll get our review up sometime this week. So reactions review podcast. We also have Genreverse Sports. Cam talks about soccer or football, as some people call it. We're the sum on soccer. Genreverse Sports, watch more football, check out that podcast. And of course, all the Genreverse entertainment content that we talk about. Cam usually writes about it as well as other writers, myself, Christine, Shockey, and more topics, not just the geeky pop culture, but even some of the hoity-toity Oscar bait, Emmy bait type things. And then LRM's great interview team over on the LRM YouTube channel. So check that out for celebrity interviews, red carpet events, and the like.
Yeah,
I think I covered
cool.
it. Oh, and podcasts, yeah. All your popular podcasts.
And this all gets put on podcast at some point if you prefer just to listen along rather than watch our, I was going to say our terrible faces, but I'm used to doing podcasts just for you, Kyle. I won't put Christine in that category.
No, she's pretty. Damn it.
But yeah, season finale. So what we all, just a quick setup. Christine and Kyle have never read the books. They don't know anything going beyond what the show does. Sometimes we'll fill in a little bit of lore here and there. But I have read the books. But yeah, we're not doing book spoilers here, but we will be talking spoilers for everything that's happened because we're at the end of a season, so everything that's happened in the Wheel of Time shows so far. And as always, we'll start off with what did you guys think? Just general thoughts. So who wants to go first?
I don't even remember who went first last time. I think you did.
Yeah.
Okay. This was a great finale, and it kind of went exactly how we thought it would, as far as like what the focus would be. They were wrapping up other stuff. We didn't really see any of the cats from the Two Rivers, which is good, is fine. Yeah. Didn't need to. A lot happened. There was a couple of my predictions that I think I got right, you know, like with Matt hanging, I was like, I think he'll hang, but he'll be saved or something like that. That happened. Mm-hmm. If I'm not mistaken, at the end of the episode, the last time we saw the two wristbands and the collar, mm-hmm. that Leandrin had one wristband and the collar because Megiddian took off the other one. So technically, as far as I know, I was right in that not one person would hold all three.
I guess, though, Megiddian and Leandrin now not working together, but
right.
But I get what you mean. Technically correct is always the best correct. Too.
Exactly. So I thought it was great. It was a fun moment to see. The princess,
Elaine.
Thank you. Like her all of a sudden get a reveal, you know, have her world shatter. What do you mean you don't know this guy that I've known all my life? And I really enjoyed that. And I don't know if it was described this way, what happened to the other chosen, what Megiddian did, splaying out his freaking veins and stuff like that. I don't know if the author described it that way in the books. Did he?
No, it's it's quite different than the books.
Maybe the showrunners. I have a feeling someone's a fan of Nightmare on Elm Street 3, The Dream Warriors, because there's a...
I don't think I've seen that one.
There's a very famous scene that really reminded me of that. So maybe it's a reference to Nightmare on Elm Street 3, but what they did to him was pretty brutal.
And it was wicked cool.
As a horror fan, I was impressed. Mm-hmm. great finale. I really enjoyed it. Had us on the edge of our seats. Shocking death. It really, like, you felt like, Lan gonna die? No, is Moraine gonna die? Oh my god, you kill her? You kill freaking Swan? And it's just like, it was really good. Really good.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be Moraine that would die. So I don't know if, like, she's, like, whatever was going to happen as a possibility, like, if it's over or something. But I wasn't expecting it to be Sawan. Glad that Nynaeve got her powers back. And you get this, like, really cool scene with, like, the parting of the sea or bay or whatever.
Chick thinks she's Moses.
Yeah. It was cool to see that come back. It was just the genie thing was really confusing though.
Yeah.
Like, he was creepy, this furry genie guy. It was just a lot going on. I don't know how I feel about Rand. I mean, it makes sense. Like, you know, he shattered their world. You know, broke it apart, gonna piece it back together, I guess. But it was just, it didn't feel good watching it, like, emotionally. Yeah, it was just a tough pill to swallow.
Wasn't a triumphant moment, was it? It was, you know, a darkness in it as well, you know, so.
Yeah.
But it feels like something
a hollow
that had
victory,
to be done.
Yeah, like where it's like, yeah, you won, but it doesn't.
What did
it doesn't
cost?
Feel like fanfare or anything.
But then, like, as he literally states the prophecy as he's doing this, and you know, he is doing everything in the way that he was prophesied to have done it in the first place, which is kind of why, you know, the wise people amongst them anyway are like, yep, he's the Karakhan. You know, especially those that have went through Rhydian, because they know the history and they know he's telling the truth. Whereas Caladan has never been through that. But I saw a few people asking online, like, what, you know, why was there so many people that, you know, seemed to go the other way? But you've got to remember that they haven't all been through there, right? So they, you know, that's a secret. They don't know that. In fact, it's quite offensive to them to think that they are, like, Tinkers.
Peaceful.
Basically, who they think really badly of the Tinkers, you know. So to think that they were once one of them and that they broke an oath to become what they were is just, some of them can't handle it.
Yeah, and it's kind of strange, like, with this culture, where you don't talk about what you saw, but it's just like with this, someone could lie. So it was just kind of strange with that, but
it's like their version of not telling people about in theory the existence of something supernatural, so aliens or ghosts or something. You know, everyone's like, well, you can't tell the public because of what it would do. It would shatter this, that, and the other. Religions would fall overnight, dogs and cats living together, mass hysteria.
But I guess it's,
so it's a touch on that, I guess.
Yeah, like, even if you said something, you know, they may not believe you. It's fine.
Yeah,
but yeah,
I mean, they've been slow boiling us on the idea of either extraterrestrial or extra dimensional something. Like, it's weird. I'm still not like sold on it not being earthbound. But man, I don't know which is scarier. Some of the alleged tech that is being witnessed and filmed. If it's not, which is scarier, not man or another country? Like, both are frightening. I don't know which one's scarier.
I can see what you mean. There's definitely stuff going on that, you know, the military,
humans suck,
you know. Maybe it's, you know, I don't know. I was going to make some sort of Wheel of Time connection there, but it just wouldn't have worked. It would have been rubbish.
It's all good.
Okay, so I mean, I really enjoyed that. I don't think there's I think you'll get a sense of that as we go along, but you know, mostly people are kind of interested in your guys' thoughts. So will we get into the kind of grades and why kind of situation, and then we'll have a lot of chat about a few things. I could go first, I guess. I gave it an A plus. Yeah, I gave it an A plus. I think it was my second favorite episode of the season. Really enjoyed it. I love the Matt scene with the weird genie thing that you were talking about. In fact, mm-hmm. I was really worried they were going to cut that. And I was like, please do not cut that. It's one of the things that, you know, I really loved about the series. That kind of, it's that sci-fi kind of element.
I was going to say it was very He-Man, very Masters of the Universe, like, it's just completely out of place in this fantasy realm. The color scheme is different.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Even though we've seen, you know, fantastical beasts, this was different.
I think we can say, because it's book lore, that they are from another dimension. So these are extra dimensional beings that are accessed through this. And I don't know, there's a lot of hints towards, and I guess we could talk about this a little bit, that there's not just one set of them. So you've only met one set of them so far. There's two sets. And the kind of showrunners have been teasing a little bit that if we do get a season four, then we may get to see the kind of other sides of them. So what you've met are what fans call the Foxies at the moment. All right. Okay. And all I'll say is, in the series earlier on this season, you see them playing a game called Snakes and Foxes. So work the other half out for yourself.
Yeah.
And we saw there was a different doorway that Elida went through as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how the show, the rules are different in the book, but I won't say anything about it. But I don't know if it will be in the show, or it's just going to be a same kind of thing, or they're going to both do different things like they did in the book. So I guess that's a watch and find out kind of situation at the moment. But yeah, I really loved that they did that. I don't know if you noticed that Matt was being hung by, it's a blink and you'll miss it, but it was a weapon that he was hung by. So he's hung on a rope, and there's a weapon stuck into the door. It's very similar to the weapon that he used at the end of last season, which is like a stick with a big knife in the end. They call it an Ashandrai. So I've been kind of wondering when he was going to get that as well.
Oh, okay.
And he's kind of, although they don't really highlight it, it's there for kind of like the book fans to say, yeah, you know, he did get it, kind of thing. So I think there was a lot of little teases like that this weekend. There's a couple we can talk about and some that we maybe can't, but yeah, I thought it was a really good episode. Christine, what was your grade and why?
It was such a good episode, but it's kind of like that, my heart hurts a little bit, so it's like A or A plus. I can't decide, because there's still like some of it where it's just like confusion that I don't really understand on some things. It kind of felt a little too fast, where I couldn't be emotionally ready. So I think it's just like a partial, like my own thing. Because I mean, watching Sawan die, I did not see that coming like that. So A plus. I'll give it. Yeah.
Is it a she or a he?
It's a her. Yeah, we're very sexist with our.
She's just trying to get comfy.
Yeah, we're very sexist with our pets. There are no male pets in the Malone house.
Males, oh, Mark.
I've only ever had male cats. Cats, but well, if once you get them spayed, they don't. But
not true. They still can, and yeah, sometimes they still will. But there's other reasons. It's just simpler. Females are generally simpler for pets. So yeah. We're sexist there.
But not for humans?
No, God, you guys are just like... No, I'm joking. Definitely you're not high maintenance, but...
Well, obviously, like with this show, it shows you how complicated women can be. So, yeah.
That's true. That's a good one. It's a very sort of women-focused show. And it kind of shows you that... I think the Wheel of Time, in a lot of ways, that if we had a... Because we do live still in a patriarchal society. If we lived in a matriarchal society, it would be different. but there would still be a lot of the same issues there.
Oh, that, yeah, because
we have at the moment.
Humans are humans. We just go about humaning different.
And, you know, Kel, what did you think? What was your grade for this one?
I think it's all good. I've complained about some pacing issues here and there. Some episodes where it's like almost too slow. I think I've even mentioned a couple times where there were certain parts where it was a little choppy, a little fast. Here, I think there's a little bit similar. I think you needed some more stuff with Leandrin and where she's moving. Maybe even some more stuff during the hide and seek. There was too much Scooby-Doo door crossing, not enough like actual, you know what I'm saying? They could have filled it. Even if there's nothing, no dialogue in the book, I feel like there's some connections, some threads, even some traversing we're missing, especially with Leandrin and her time here. And I think maybe you could have used a little bit more exposition there, instead of just constant walking by.
I want to say this is kind of show only because it's so different from the books. Like, yeah, there is a Tanchico plot in the books and it does involve the collar and stuff like that. And it does involve Leandrin and it does involve Nynaeve. But that's like where I think the similarities do end a little bit. Like Matt's not even there in the books. Yeah. He actually goes to Rhydian in the books and he does the doorway thing in Rhydian, not in Tanchico. So, you know, they moved a few things around about. I think the showrunner's reason for that, I'd read, was that he didn't want to get Matt to get lost in Rand's story because it's so focused on Rand. And, you know, he wanted him to be a bigger part somewhere else. And that's why it made sense to move him to the kind of Tanchico storyline. So
I could nitpick a little bit here and there, but overall I think it was an outstanding finale. I give it an A+ as well. Season one was fun. We relatively enjoyed it, but I think we definitely had some gripes. Season two was an improvement. This was a massive improvement, and I really hope we get more. And there's a lot of shows that have similarities where season three is like the best of the best, sometimes season four, depending on the show. But like Buffy's best one is three, in that with high school graduation.
That's weird. I can't Buffy
season three,
that's
when graduation day is with the mayor and stuff. That's great. Season three of Angel was even similar. Season three of Scrubs is one of my favorite. Like, there's a lot of shows.
Sometimes it takes a TV show time to get going. I think the modern kind of culture is more hit them with a bang for a couple of seasons, then wait for it to fade away and then just cancel it kind of thing. But Wheel of Time is not that like that, because it's a big series. The books kind of, as I've said to you, start like that as well. It's fairly slow, it's fairly predictable, and it's a little bit repetitive until you get to the one that we're on now, and then the story starts moving in completely different directions and you go, okay, I can see I don't know a lot about this yet, and I've got a lot more to learn about this universe and what's actually going on here. Did you guys get that kind of impression that, you know, that the story's opened up more this season?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Bigger, more cost down the road. Like, you can tell, like, you know, big things are going to happen, maybe good, maybe bad, and stop.
We've had a few deaths now in the series, and we know that not everyone is safe, and that's a good thing to have in a story.
So would you say, then here's the question, because I think we have all rated episode four as our favourite so far, because we all gave, I think, A+ to episode four. The rest of the shows, we were all a little bit varied. A's, nothing too low, nothing massively maybe higher, but for that one in particular, we were all A+. So is episode four still the best episode of this season, or is it the season finale? What do you think?
It's kind of demanding. It kind of depends on when you ask me and what I'm hungry for. I think as a huge fan of world building and lore and learning stuff about the workings of a story that I'm invested in, four kind of takes the cake on that. But as far as like spectacle, thrill, you know, this definitely would edge out on that. I honestly feel like I could rewatch the whole season So I'm gonna bitch out and just say it's a tie.
Yeah, I'm gonna say the same thing. Where it's just kind of like they have their different things, and it, yeah, like you'd said, just depends. So, but yeah, definitely a rewatch.
I'll still go episode 4 as being slightly better. Both A pluses, but episode 4 just slightly better because I don't really know, other than give it more time and have more flashbacks, I'm not sure what else they could have done to improve it. Plus, it had all the little touches, like all the reverse of everything that I talked about on the show, like how they reversed the cold open, they reversed the, you know, so those little artistic touches sold me on that one a little bit as well. It's been a good season.
Can we give them some credit on doing so much weave work in broad daylight in a desert? Like, the CGI, while you could definitely tell this was a TV, I know it's a very large TV budget, but it's not Avengers budget quite, right? And we know
it's reasonable for what they're providing.
And it's spread out. The budget,
I think. Yeah.
It's spread out across all 8 episodes, and so it's not like I'm calling this, you know, Oscars worthy effects, but it was good, and it was in broad daylight. And that I'll give them some credit. I thought the fight with Moraine and Lanfear was a lot of fun. Was well done overall.
So I guess what would you rank if you were to give a grade for the whole season? Would the grade be for the full season?
Solid A. I mean, maybe even. I don't think you, because there were a couple B's in there. I don't necessarily think you could say it's an A plus. I don't know if we rated season 2 A plus for some reason, but if we did, no, I would have to make sure.
Yeah. Even if you did, you can look back and be like, nah, this is totally better.
This was a much better season. It's a really you know, it's good.
Yeah, definitely better than an A minus. I'd give it an A. As a whole, so yeah, it was really good.
I did the same thing in my written review, and I'll stick with that as well. Overall, an A, but I think definitely I would say season 3 was better than season 2, and then there's quite a large jump down to season 1 because I thought it had a very poor ending. But we understand there were reasons behind that that maybe were outside of some people's control anyway, or the creative's control, shall we say. Okie dokie. So, first thing I'll ask is there anything you want to ask about, like, what does this mean? What's that I may not be able to answer, but I might be able to answer. It just depends on what you ask.
Well, you already answered mine on the Foxies, so I don't think I have.
What was your question?
Just not really a question, just like, what's up with them?
Oh, okay.
Like, what's up with this character? It's really weird.
Think they'll over explain it going forward, you know. I think they've said we'll see them again if we get a new season, but they won't over explain it, so you know, that's why I said I think it's okay to say these are interdimensional beings that are accessed through the doorway, you know.
I've always wanted to, like, you'd have to do it like the closest you could get. Like, I've always wanted to try out a genie, like, you know, like, see if I can outwit the genie. And the closest thing I can think of is like finding some like high end criminal defense attorney who's just going to be able to cross. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's going to be able to hear my wish and really tell me if he could figure out a way to screw me over.
They would definitely screw you over, even if you asked for something simple like a can of soda. There's something wrong with it.
You know, that it's like that episode of Treehouse of Horror with the monkey paw, and Homer's like, I want a turkey sandwich. I don't want to be made a turkey sandwich. I don't want to be attacked by turkey sandwiches. And then the sandwich is okay, but the turkey's a little dry. I do, you know, seeing them and seeing the interaction with Matt, of course, brings up the whole, well, shit, there's been some people using these to travel. What does that mean? You know, and what are their interactions with these creatures if they travel through these spots? Is it, they managed to...
Of course, a cold open tells us that Elida's went through another doorway.
Exactly.
Right? So it's not as if these are unknown things. It's not as if people don't know about them, and the other sister immediately says to her, oh, you were with the Eel Finn, you know, or whatever it is. So, you know, yeah, they're pretty much, they were known, but they are from the kind of Age of Legends time. So people knew a lot more about all that sort of stuff back then, but it's one of those Tarangriels that have survived over the years. I think that in the book there's two doorways, but I actually think there'll be a third one in the show. Don't ask me why, I just think there will be. But we'll see what happens.
It might allow for people to travel easier without over-explaining things or something like that. I don't know.
Well, travel with your feet.
Here's the thing. Let's talk about traveling, because there was a really big hint, and I wonder if anybody, and I think it's so much of a hint that people have to start reacting to it at this point. How did Lanfear get away at the end of the fight with Egwene?
With Egwene?
Yeah,
Moraine.
Yeah.
I was going to say with Egwene, they just were in the dream world, so
I mean Moraine. So in the desert, she was not in the dream world at this point.
Well, it's just like Megiddon being able to get, you know, from the Iel Wastes to pull guys' veins out to get back to Tanshiko. And there's lots of, I even mentioned, I was like, man, these people are traveling really fast. Yeah. And the Black Aja, they make this big deal about the gates and the ways or waystones or whatever that dark tunneling thing is. And they're like, you know, this is dangerous and this is the fastest way, but it's only this limited. But people are going all over the place. So I've been theorizing that there's additional methods, whether it's a weave, whether it's a projection, like even if it's a physical projection, like manifesting a body elsewhere.
You've also theorized that there's something in the wastes. So like, you know, maybe something in it.
Well, because of all the glass columns and stuff like
so.
That.
I think so.
I think something. You did say that in one of the episodes. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the clue is in how she gets away. Right. And this is one where you have to go back and rewatch stuff now though. Because you know, you can see there's a hole opens, right?
Yeah.
And we know where that hole is because we see that architecture of where she's going. So we know she's going to Tarvalon. Why? I don't know. But that's for season 4. But she's going to Tarvalon. So she makes basically a portal at that point. Now, we've seen the Forsaken coming in and out of these things before, but they've made it seem like it was all happening in Tel Ar-Riad. In the dream world,
right?
Whenever they're meeting up and stuff, actually, that's not the case. The Forsaken can travel about like that. This is a skill that's been lost over the years, but Forsaken
Sith magic.
Can do that. Sith magic, the only secrets that only the Sith knew. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Teleportation. I don't even want to be a bad guy with it. Like, I want teleportation for a couple of very simple things. One, I will buy a season pass to whatever theme park I plan on teleporting to. I will keep that pass, but I want to go to Orlando and not have to travel, you know, right?
Sit in the car,
to Florida. Yeah. It's a long way from here.
I want to be able to get food from different places when I want them. I've got a pizza joint in New York City that I really enjoy. I would love, and again, I'm going to pay for it. I'm not going to, you know, pop in, steal a piece and slide out. No. I just want to be able to get there.
So, and the thing is, they've hidden it so far. They've never done it in front of the main characters, but she just did that in front of Moraine. Mm-hmm. And remember that when a woman sees another woman using it, they can see what kind of weaves they're using. Mm-hmm. So I think next season and going forward, we may start to see the good guys start to realize, wait a minute,
we can do this now.
Traveling became so much easier.
Yeah. Another thing I was going to ask you is, because I thought this was really well done, it's another reason I gave it an A+. I thought they explained Balefire really well visually, without having to go into some big explanation. So to test my theory, I'm going to ask you guys to tell me how Balefire works. And we'll test this out.
I think you shouldn't cross any streams of Balefire 1.
It does look a little bit like a proton stream, doesn't it? Yeah.
To me, it hits, and it seems like there's some sort of burning of the core, and whether that's like burning a soul, burning something. I almost feel like it might even burn them out of the wheel. Like they might not be able to come back. They might not be able to reincarnate, because it looks like stuff, not just flesh. It looks like stuff is being destroyed on a different level than I've seen before.
I don't know what I think of it, because it was so weird. Like, after Elaine used it, there's like kind of like a shadow
that
of
shadow
her
thing, which was weird.
Yeah, so I don't know, but like in using it, I'm wondering if it's kind of like, is there a cost to using it? And like, maybe that was, because like it was so weird to see her there.
We'll get to costs and stuff in the future, so I won't talk about that, because Balefire will become something to talk about if we get to future, unless they cancel it, in which case we can come on and I can explain whatever to you. But I think what you've got from it is enough for the moment, kind
both
of thing.
Both of us or just her?
Both of you together.
Okay.
Because you're right in a way that it does remove it, but it does actually affect the pattern itself, and it reverses then, so it actually removes them from the pattern before when you hit them. So that's why you saw the reversal of the damage and all the shadow behind Elaine, because if she shot her, she couldn't have missed and hit the ceiling beforehand, so that was all reversed back again.
Interesting.
They did a good job
of showing that visually, you know, without
right before you
explain it to you.
Explain that part. I was like, you know, going back to that proton pack thing, what if it like absorbs their essence or being into the weapon itself? So
that would be cool, actually. Yeah. Write that down, Kyle. Write your own book at some point. That's a good idea.
Dude, you and I have
video game-ish, doesn't it? You know, like that's like something you would do in a video game.
You and I have written so many Marvel and Star Wars stories that would have been 1,000. And I'm not talking like how every fan thinks they've got the story. There's been things where we've said, and then Marvel and Disney will do some of it, but they'll execute it like shite. It's very infuriating.
That does happen from time to time. Cool. Okay, so two things for you. Favorite character of the season and biggest surprise of the season so far. So we're kind of thinking seasons rather than episode now.
Biggest surprise, I would say, is what was happening with the Aes Sedai,
the coup.
Yeah, exactly. And I really cannot stand Elida. Is that her name? Mm-hmm. Miss 8 Packs a Day? Yeah, her. She drives me crazy. I'd say my favorite character is Nynaeve. It's kind of like I really like Elaine, but I don't feel that she works for much. It feels kind of like there's so many things that just come so easy to her, so it's kind of like I'm feeling like I'm getting the conflict resolution in a character, like, and I've missed watching the journey to get to where she is now. So it's kind of like I really do like Elaine, but I feel like that part is missing from this story, because you get so many people who are struggling, they're fighting their inner battles, they're fighting battles on the outside, and you know, you see that payoff, and with her, I don't really get that as much, but I would definitely say Nynaeve is still a favorite of mine.
What was the other question?
I already answered it. The shocking, most
shocking
surprising.
Shocking. Sorry. Most shocking moment for me.
Surprising moment. I mean, it doesn't have to be. Shocking's maybe too strong.
I don't know. Of course, Swan's death was I didn't see that coming. It's a pretty big death, and it's very consequential. I think even some of the reveals of the past in episode 4 could be up there with that as well, where you're like, oh my god, look how much stuff is connected, and look how this one thread and all these things that went wrong, and where they couldn't have. That was a lot of fun. as well. So one of those two, probably leaning towards the death more so. Mm-hmm. Favorite characters, man. This is a tough one because there's so much going on. You know, you think about the character arc for Perrin and all the stuff that you saw happen at the Two Rivers. Even the relationship stuff between Maxim and what's her name?
Alana.
That was really good. So I'm kind of drawn towards the stuff around Perrin and those parts of the story, but you can't really ignore Rand himself this season. Lots of big moments. The actor who's at times seemed kind of, not that he is uncomfortable, but the role or the way he's done the role at times has felt uncomfortable, felt kind of cumbersome at times, but I felt like it was, you know, on point this season. And I really enjoyed learning about his past and what his future has in store as well. I guess I'll lean towards the Perrin stuff because
it was
a lot of fun.
I will say with Rand, like with what we've seen with Rand so far with the actor, it's like struggling with his path, like trying to find out who he is, and I kind of felt that it worked the way the actor did it, where it's like, I don't know, I just felt that it was
every now and then I literally see Hayden Christensen on screen.
Oh, like, that's such
every,
an insult.
Every now and then. I like I said, I it's how I saw certain times, certain bits. It just became kind of stiff, kind of cardboard, a little dry, and didn't quite. But it's not like a constant thing. It's not every episode. It's not every scene. It's, it is what it is. Much less this season.
Cam, comments? Do you have anything to say to that?
No.
Okay.
No. I will just say my favorite character this season was, I think probably Rand, actually, a little bit.
Oh, really?
Because my favorite character's Matt. So that would be the obvious answer, right? And I think Matt is still getting to where he needs to be, and I like Matt, and he had some good scenes. I love his ad lib, the actor, see when him and the Neve notice the Leandrin and that leaving, he's like, let's go Tanchico. And somebody asked the showrunner, was that an ad lib? And he's like, yes, of course, that's Donald Finn, that's why we love him, that's just the way he is. And I just get that playful nature from him, so a good season for him. But I think Rand is heading in a direction which I'm interested in, and we're starting to see bits of that come out this year. So I think Yossi Stradowski is he was picked for the way he can do Rand going forward, I think, rather than farm boy Rand. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. You know, because Rand has some different, he's got a lot of character arcs, you know, to go through before we get to the end game. Let's just say that it was a long series. You know, I think we're over fanboy Shepherd Rand now, you know, if that makes sense.
I think
is boring Rand and uninteresting Rand for me. So that's what I'll say. Last thing I'm going to leave you on is something to go back and look at. You're not going to potentially find this, all right, but
okay.
Elaine brought up a bit of information which may have just skimmed past people that haven't read the books, but it's an absolute tease for what's to come. She brought up people's talents for the first time, and I don't know if I've mentioned this before, but irrespective of everybody's got a power level in Wheel of Time, some people just have a specific talent for something.
Like Men's Visions.
Yeah. I mean, and that's in a non-channeler, but some channelers just have something they can do better than anybody else, even
mind
though they're not as powerful
versus
as the other people.
I can
maybe
do fire stuff.
I think we
better
talked about that. I think they're playing that as Raven's especially good with the mind control stuff, for example, right? So Elaine kind of mentions one talent in the episode where she's telling somebody about that some Aes Sedai could actually delve into the ground and find metal and stuff like that. And that's a tease, because later on in the episode, we actually see someone use their talent for the first time. I'm not going to tell you what that is. I'm just going to leave that open to see if it's something you ever find. If you do decide to rewatch the series or rewatch the episode, see if it's something that you'll find.
You'll have to try to commit.
The only clue
to
I'll give you is after she says that. So that is a tease for book fans. So,
okay.
A little one for you to look over.
Fun.
That's it.
Man, if you're going to be a prospector, that'd be a good one to have.
Yeah, we definitely don't see that particular one, as you'd imagine in that episode, but we do see somebody using something else. So, one to look out for anyway. Obviously, we would at this point normally say, you know, we'll be back for season 4 and, you know, all that sort of stuff. But of course, guys, we don't know if we will be back for season 4 at this point, because it's not actually been greenlit, which is strange. Rumours I've heard are that it's a disagreement between Sony and Amazon, who hold the rights to kind of gather. It seems to be more on Sony's side than Amazon's side. But at the moment, there's been no sign of a green light for it, which I think is a shame, because I think the show's done really well. And I saw that, like, on the ratings for it, Rotten Tomatoes ratings, it's now the season 3 of Wheel of Time is the second highest rated fantasy TV series, with 97%. The only one that's above it,
Game of Thrones,
is season 4 of Game of Thrones, which was considered the best season of Game of Thrones. So all the other ones fall below that, and there's still some really good seasons of TV out there. And I think we've only kind of touched the surface. I think it could get better going forward as well.
Yeah.
There's a lot of cool stuff still to happen. So we'll see what happens. But we do hope that Wheel of Time will be back for season 4, and therefore so will the Dragon Review be back for season 4.
Hope so.
Well,
yep.
Any final words to our viewers? Will we log off for an indeterminate period of time?
I'm looking forward to rewatching it. I'll say that. Like, I'm ready to get back in it. Yeah. See what I missed.
Thanks for joining us on this season 3 journey. It was a lot of fun. Really appreciate the subscribers and views, comments, all that. And if you found your way over here from Reddit, thanks for interacting with our posts over there as well. Did you have any final words, Cam, before I close out?
I guess I would just say that if you want to see us back, then, you know, watch Wheel of Time, tell friends about Wheel of Time. If you like it, tell your friends about it. Go online and rate it. You know, watch it again, you know, multiple times, because that will help with the viewing figures and stuff like that again. And maybe if we keep our fingers crossed, we will get a season 4. And therefore, we will be back to review it if that happens. And hopefully, I'm hoping we get more than just one. We get like a commitment to finish it. That's what I'm hoping for. So.
Yeah.
It'd be nice. You guys can finish your...
See you again.
Time watching this video by make sure you hit the subscribe button and check out another one, reactions, reviews, podcasts, genreverse sports if you're into soccer, football, specifically English Premier League football. Check that out. And of course, all the written entertainment news, reviews, celebrity interviews, and all sorts of stuff at lrmonline.com if you're into it. So are we, discussing it there. That's it.
Yep. Thanks very much for watching, and we genuinely hope we'll see you next season. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Six months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. Prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/listen. That's forhers.com/listen. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.